How are you doing, Brooke?
I'm good. I just got back from a really long road trip. We got back last night, I guess.
How was the drive?
It was fine. We did 2 days of the way there, and then we did a straight shot back, which was like 12 hours. So it was long.
It's a long.
Yeah, it's a long drive. That makes my butt hurt.
At least it's like nothing. Like you're just driving through a flat desert. So you can just kind of like cruise control.
That's true.
Yeah.
Also got really close to Area 51.
Oh, why didn't you just
so excited
go there?
I know. I was like, Zach, I might just take us up the freeway.
Did you see a sign?
Well, there's a bunch of like alien branded stuff.
You didn't stop and take pictures?
No. I was tired.
Wow.
But it's super close. So you get to Vegas, which is like 5 hours away, and then you just turn north. And it's just like another hour. So I'll go back.
Yeah.
I want to go so bad.
Come back here.
Go stay at the little Ailey Inn.
Ailey Inn. Yeah. Ridiculous.
It's so hot.
You're listening to Something Weird. I'm Anna, and here's your co-host, Brooke.
Hello. Here you'll find semi-regular dialogue on all things paranormal, or even just a little bit weird. We're lifelong friends who've had an affinity for the strange since we met, and now we're here to explore these phenomena with you.
Each week, one of us will dig into a paranormal tale as we ponder the question, do we want to believe? This is a very special week because we have a bona fide guest. It's been a while since we had a guest. Hi, Chris, if you're listening, probably not. But this week, we are featuring dearest listener, Margaret Hollins. She's going to give us a little bit of her own story, something paranormal, perhaps. And then I'm going to round it out with my own story. So, welcome, Margaret.
Welcome.
Hey, thanks. Thank you so much for having me. It's weird to hear you call me Margaret, though, because I'm so used to being called Mug. All those billions of listeners, you can call me Mugs, too. I'm very happy to be on your podcast. I'm a longtime listener, big fan, first-time caller.
So happy to have you.
I am super excited to have you on the show. Apparently, I've heard this story before. Actually, not apparently. I know I've heard this story before, but I don't remember it. So it's going to be like my first time, and I'm just really excited to see what you've got to enlighten us with.
Well, thank you. This is one of my favorite stories to tell because it is the only time in my life that I have felt that sixth sense kick in and have it be, and it was just intense. I'll never forget it. So I was going wine tasting with my friends. As you do. We were living in LA and we drove up to Solvang, which is like an hour or something, no, more than that, north of LA. And there's some wine tasting kind of in that area. We picked a little hotel. We went wine tasting throughout the afternoon and then we went back to the hotel and we were kind of tired. There was two queen beds and I was in one bed and my friends, Cora and Allegra, were in the other. They were also my roommates and their cousins to each other, which is kind of cute. Anyways, we all like turned out the lights. We're like, okay, good night. And as soon as we turned out the lights, it was like in the preview, that sound, boom. Oh. You know, I was like,
oh yeah.
Boom. Like everything, an action
movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, what in the actual, there is so much mojo in this room. My back was up, you know what I mean? Immediately. Mm-hmm. And I'm a total fraidy cat. Like Anna can attest to this. Like I can't watch super scary stuff. I totally believe that I'm going to be like possessed by a demon if I'm not careful.
I'd be careful.
You know, that feeling happens and the reason that I say is that I'm a fraidy cat is the weirdest part about this is I wasn't scared. And I was like, oh, I'm just so tired. I just want to go to sleep. So I did that thing where you start to fall asleep and you jolt awake.
Yeah.
It's usually because you like dreamt that you slipped in a puddle or something. But what I was doing was like jolting awake. And then the first time it happened, there was a man's face at the end of the bed and I'm blinking. You know how you like blinky blink, like your eyes over and over, open real wide and try to make sure you-
you're like,
like this cannot be real.
Yeah. Blink, 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 lean forward, blink, blink. And then it was gone. And I was like, ah, and I still wasn't scared. I was like, oh, this is just so annoying. Like this girl needs to let me go to sleep. It's so not me. I can't even believe that I'm telling you this. To me, that's the weird part of the story. You know what I mean?
Seriously.
So then I go back to sleep and the same thing happens. I start to fall asleep. And the second that I am about to drift off, I jolt awake. And this time there was spiders and creepy crawlies all over the ceilings and the walls. It scares me more now telling it. And then
that's literally my worst nightmare.
Not the man at the end of your bed, just the spider.
Yeah.
The spiders. Don't you guys have those dreams or feelings like spiders are coming like up from the ground over like onto you? I don't know. I have it all the time.
Really?
I have dreams that waves are like giant tidal waves are coming at me. And that feels like sort of similar.
Yeah.
So creepy. Well, and the crazy thing about that, Brooke, is that later I was telling my friend this story and she is all into the woo woo. And she was like, oh, creepy crawlies, creatures that are on and under the ground, mystically are considered like the most evil, kind of the most dark.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, no. I'm glad I didn't know that shit at the time.
Yes.
But anyways.
Spiders don't usually live in the ground, though.
That's true. They don't. Not usually.
Also, do you remember on Lord of the Rings when Frodo's being chased by the, oh, gosh.
Big Mama Spider?
No. The Black Riders, the Night Riders. That's not who they are. But they're like on the horses that are all dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to say Dementors, but I already know that's wrong.
But he's down like hiding, crouching away from them. And then he starts, you know, doing the eyes rolled back in his head thing. And then all of the bugs start coming out of the ground.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all I can think about.
That's totally
gross.
Yeah, there was beetles, there was worms, there was centipedes. And I did the thing again, blink, 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 blink. And then probably after like blink number 10, they were gone again.
Okay, so this took a while. Like they were hanging out.
It felt like forever. And I was like, okay, this is so annoying. I'm so tired. I just want to go to sleep. So I tried to go to sleep again. And this time it felt like the whole hotel was being pulled in the way that like when you're a little kid and someone's like swinging you around by the arms, it felt like that, like a, you know, what do you call that?
The spins.
Yeah. Like, but it was just like one pull and it woke me up. Oh, this is what I didn't tell you too. Today, I looked up the name of the hotel because I was going to say the name because people should go and stay there and tell me how much mojo is stuck to those walls. The name of the hotel is the Sideways Inn.
What? So. I wonder if there are other stories, like accounts. I'm sure there would be.
Yeah, it makes me really want to call them up. I should have done that before today, called them up and asked them how many ghost stories they have. And I don't even know why I didn't ask them that. Anyways.
You could probably just Google it.
Oh, yeah, huh?
Internet.
That would be way too easy.
Hey, I usually don't.
I have time to waste or like just read the Yelp reviews.
Yeah.
Great Betty. Totally got raped by a man floating at the end of my bed.
3 stars.
Good price, whatever. I was like, okay, forget this. I want to go to sleep. And I just turned on the TV so that I could fall asleep. The next day we went wine tasting or whatever. Another shocking part to me of the story is that I didn't remember about it. The whole day long, we just were going around doing our thing. And I forgot, I completely forgot that I had that whole sixth sense crazy experience the night before. I forgot one thing. The very first thing that happened is that Cora rolled over in her bed. That's why I wanted to tell you guys the way we were sleeping, because she rolled over in her bed, and then I saw her out of the corner of my eye go to the bathroom. But then there was no sounds, and I looked over, and she was still lying there.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was so freaking, and that was just like, I knew that wasn't my imagination. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when you think you see something out of the corner of your eye and you're like, oh, I must've seen that wrong.
Always.
Like she got up and walked into the bathroom. I saw her nightgown. Like I saw her silhouette, everything, you know?
So is she, aside from seeing her like get up, you're the only one that's awake. Like no one else.
Yeah. Nobody
experiencing.
Yeah. Nobody.
Okay.
Nobody knows about it. And it was so weird that I forgot about it the next day. So we get back from that day's events and we like went for a swim and then our new sparkling white to the hot tub as you do. And then I was like, same thing that night. We're like, okay, good night, turn out the light. I was like, oh my gosh, I am not dealing with this again tonight. And I just turned on the TV. It was like Jim Carrey movie, like Liar Liar was on TV. And I was like, perfect. And I fell right to sleep. In the morning, I'm lying there and I'm trying to decide whether or not to say anything to Cora and Allegra because they're very practical ladies. They're not quite as easily romanced as I am. I'm just sitting there and then Cora and Allegra are like starting to wake up and Allegra just sits straight up and she goes, I think this place is haunted. And Cora's like, I do too. I've had the craziest dreams. Let's get out of here. And it was like, we were all having, isn't that crazy?
Wow. Oh, and just no one said anything?
No one said anything until the last day. And then I'm kicking myself that I didn't say anything at the front desk when I checked out, you know, because like yeah. I went to pay and stuff. And I was like, let's just get out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a really old hotel. Hmm?
Well, it is interesting, though, how, you know, something can feel so real and so terrifying. And then the next day, as soon as the light's up, it just like, well, you didn't even remember to tell them, you know, it was so small in your memory.
Yeah. And what's that about how it really was that the minute we turned off lights, the whole mojo in the room changed. Right. I'd never experienced that before.
I don't think I have either, actually.
No.
My same friend who told me about the creepy crawlies, she said, you know, energy can like stick to the walls. She thinks maybe something really sinister went down in that room and that all of that horrible energy is stuck in there.
Well, it's kind of like the idea of the grudge, something really horrifying and like violent and sad happens in a place. It just stays there. That energy stays there, whether it's a ghost or, you know, demon, whatever, but it's even just the like feeling of that moment. And that experience will never really go away and it'll kind of affect anyone who is there, I guess, unless it's like blessed or something like that.
Mm.
You know, when you go into a house or like a space, you just feel like it, you just know something is wrong.
Right.
And you can't put your finger on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird that you didn't feel that until the lights went out.
That's what I was thinking is like, because that's such a like typical scary movie thing. It's like the bad things happen in the dark. But I don't know, other than more of like a religious symbolism of light and dark, why that is. Like, is there any actual reasoning as to why like this energy or, you know, whatever it was that was in that room, like why the dark? You know, and why did it like completely dissipate and even like leave your mind when you're in the light? I just think that's, I don't know. Yeah. I've never actually understood why that's a thing.
I guess I've never thought about it before.
Yeah, me either. I haven't thought about that. I'm curious about that too. It's a good question, bro. Have you guys ever experienced anything like that where, like you said, Anna, that you do remember like feeling certain energies and stuff like that, but have you ever gone into a place and it just like got your back up or anything?
No, nothing to that extent. Like nothing where I can vividly say that I have seen something. I've heard things and sensed things, but yeah, like I just haven't ever seen anything visually, at least.
No, so. Remember Yeah, I'm questioning your recollection and your life
here. Yeah, that's fair.
But like, I remember even when I first met you, you were like plagued with night terrors. And it wasn't just a bad dream. It was like a feel, you know, like you were stuck in a feeling.
Yeah, I've definitely had those. And those were night terrors. Like those were awful. And those lasted for a long time. That's one time where I did hear someone very clearly, and it was a man's voice, say, Anna, because my mom, I was making her sleep in my room with me. And I was like, way too old for that. And I was like, Mom, did you just say my name? And she was like, no. So that's, I think, the only time I can say it felt like there was something sitting on your chest. Like, that's how I would feel. And like, I couldn't move. But that's just kind of a night terror.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
That is awful. But even just that like energy shift in the room, or just feeling, you know, that there's something.
When I was a real estate agent, I remember so specifically, I was showing a house in East Tacoma, and it wasn't a super nice house. It wasn't like the worst house I've ever been in either. It wasn't great, but I just remember walking through the front door and feeling like, just in my mind, saying this place is evil, not really knowing why. I never really saw anything that would confirm that, you know, there wasn't like blood on the wall or Satan statues. It was that feeling of like, there is evil happening here, whatever that means. We didn't put an offer on it, so.
Actually, that does remind me, Anna, I do remember showing a house kind of near Lakewood, and it definitely had a weird energy about it, but it didn't feel evil necessarily, but it felt heavy, like real, real heavy. Mm-hmm. And we go downstairs into the basement, and there was this entirely tiled room that was almost entirely a bathtub with a slanted floor. Like, I'm talking entirely tiled, and a hook above the bathtub thingy.
No.
And I'm like, what? Yeah. Needless to say, we didn't put an offer on that one either. We ran out of that place.
Oh my gosh.
But what was so nuts was that, like, right then, we were all creeped out, myself and my buyers, like, completely creeped out by this house. And, like, the living room was this huge open room it was a super old house with red carpeting in it, really thin piles. So it kind of felt like church. And there was, like, a big old piano. So anyway, come to find out, it was a funeral home.
Oh no.
It had all kinds of energy. It was, but like,
that is wild.
The hook and the tile bathtub thingy place room. Do they empty bodies of blood before they bury them? Why?
That's super interesting.
Yeah. Do they have to like drain them first?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think that's a thing.
I don't know.
Maybe at this particular place. I don't know how
you prepare a dead body.
Keep them real fresh. Yeah, that's crazy. Now I'm curious. Now I want to go back to it. Not go back to it because I was never there, but I want to go back with you.
Yeah, we should all go. It would be so scary.
That's a good one.
Hey, thanks. I'm here to tell the tale. I will say what is kind of cool, like how I wasn't afraid. It was like, I knew that whatever it was couldn't hurt me. Mm-hmm. And there's been times where I have felt like I've had, like you said, Anna, like horrible nightmares and like feel really, really afraid that there's a demon trying to possess me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm really glad that I wasn't overcome with fear or anything like that, that I kind of kept my head about me. Yeah. Like I said, that's not normally how I function, and to actually be faced with something that was really unexplainable and felt so real and scary, but I wasn't afraid, is pretty cool.
I love nightmares because I think they're super insightful, and then you're just so relieved when you wake up. Mm-hmm. It's just interesting. So nightmares don't bother me, but it is like that feeling of losing control, I guess, when you're awake. That's my scariest. And you didn't, so all is well.
I didn't.
You kind of like take the power back from those situations. Mm-hmm. That like, I mean, for me, that's the worst thing. Like I never want to experience that. And I'm always really scared of that. So it's kind of cool. You just like take that fear power back and just be like, whatever. There's a man at the bottom of my bed.
Go away. I'm trying to sleep.
No big deal. Just going to watch some Jim Carrey movies.
No, exactly, Brooke. I am just like you. Like, I am so, like, if you told me I was about to experience that, I would be like, no, yeah. I'm not going to be able to handle it.
Yeah.
You're stronger than you think.
I guess so.
Well, I love that story. I love a firsthand account of something, not even just a feeling too, like you saw not just one thing, multiple things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that pull felt really real too. That pull that woke me up, you know, that felt like it was actually happening.
So your friends, did they see the same stuff? The cousins that you were with?
No, I told them everything and they were like, whoa, you know, they were just as intrigued as you guys. But they had, I guess Allegra had had nightmares and Cora had just had like a little weird feeling about it. But they pretty much knocked out as soon as the lights went out.
Had a couple more glasses.
Yeah. That's, you know, it's funny too, because like as roommates, they would always tease me because I always fall asleep because I'm an early to bed type person. And I'd always be like, I'm just going to go watch this show from my room.
You'd be out.
Never return.
Well, thank you, Mugs. Loved that. Really just set me up for my story also about a hotel.
Oh, good.
To visit when we can actually leave our house.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to go to this one. We can go to the other one.
Oh gosh, okay.
You may have heard this story. It's not new and it actually happened pretty recently, which makes it even creepier. And this is a story that I've somewhat followed since reading about it, and it really has just stuck with me. I think about it often. There are so many aspects that feel kind of close to home. I thought it'd be a perfect partner to Mug's story, a la hotel things. So grab your key card and your mini bucket, your ice bucket. What's a mini bucket?
A mini fridge?
Isn't that just a cup?
True. Yeah, grab your ice bucket because we're going on a journey. On January 31st in 2013, a Canadian college student, Elisa Lam, was last seen live at the Cecil Hotel in Los Angeles, California.
Oh, sorry. I'm mentally preparing myself for how awful this is.
You know the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah.
Oof. Oh, okay. I don't know it. I'm excited.
Get ready.
It wasn't until February 19th that her body was found, also on the premises of the Cecil Hotel, naked, alone, and decomposing in the hotel's water tank on top of the building.
So she was in everybody's water?
Yeah.
Oh.
2 weeks, like over 2 weeks.
For a while.
Oh, I just got chills head to toe.
Yeah, that's why you don't want to stay at this hotel. I mean, I guess it's taken care of, but still.
No. Yeah. Oof.
It seems there are only unanswered questions when it comes to the story of Elisa Lam. And even with today's forensics, detective work, and technology, the truth has yet to be uncovered. NBC LA reporter Lolita Lopez recounts, in 22 years plus of doing this job as a news reporter, this is one of those cases that kind of sticks with me because we know the who, what, when, where, but the why is always the question. And I also disagree with that because, yeah, we know who died, but who did it?
And what happened? And I don't know.
How did she get into the water tank? Like, we don't know the what.
We don't.
Lady. Where did it happen? When exactly, yeah.
This is an unsolved mystery.
Yeah, it kind of sticks with me because we don't know shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
To give you a bit of background, Lam was overall a sweet, book-loving, social media-centric young woman. She struggled with mental health issues, but was open about those struggles on her Tumblr. Its tagline reading, "You're always haunted by the idea you're wasting your life." Chuck Palahniuk. Anyone's familiar? So in an article about Lam, Vice describes her as, quote, a smart young woman interested in feminism, classic novels, film noir, impressionist painters, and modernist architecture.
She sounds like our friend.
So she's artsy. Cool. The Cecil Hotel, on the other hand, is known for its bloodstained past and is notoriously one of the seediest hotels in LA. It also serves as a residential apartment for lower income tenants. Sure, like LA is expensive, but it also seems like a bit of a stretch that she would go there.
Yeah. Who
knows? The very first question, just why?
Why though?
Why there?
Alisa arrived in LA on January 26th via Amtrak from San Diego on her way to Santa Cruz, one stop along the way of her West Coast tour, a break from her studies at her hometown's University of British Columbia in Vancouver. Although her family was wary of her traveling alone, they were assured when she promised to call every day of the trip to check in. And Alisa had held her promise and contacted her parents each day up until January 31st, when her parents began to worry after not hearing from her and the day she was intending to check out of the Cecil Hotel. So the Lambs contacted the LA Police Department, who conducted a search of the hotel, but she was nowhere to be found. And soon after their empty-handed search, they did come across surveillance footage taken from the Cecil Hotel cameras and shared this on their website. And I'll let you watch for yourself again, if you've seen it already. It gives me chills.
Is it the elevator?
Me chills. Yeah, I'm going to watch it again with you too.
Yeah, I'll watch it.
I sent it to the chat.
Why did she just push all the buttons and then get... Oh my God. She's hiding from somebody.
It looks that way, doesn't it?
She's hiding from something.
Yeah, so she peeks out and then hides in the corner, and now she's standing at the door, gingerly looking out. Oh, something scared her.
Yeah, she like does a little leap. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, she's being so odd.
Her movements outside, it's a bit outside the frame. You can't see. It's almost like she started waving at someone, but her arm is up. I don't know.
And how come the elevator doesn't move?
Right? Why isn't the door closing?
I never thought about that.
And now she's pushing the buttons some more.
Maybe she pressed the hold elevator button. But you have to be inside to have that work, don't you?
I don't know. Oh my gosh, that's so creepy. She's trying to get the elevator to do... Does it look like she's talking to somebody?
Oh, now she's like having a full-on... Like she's making points. She's doing the like... But also, like, is she on something?
It's so weird.
So once she leaves the screen, the elevator doors just open and shut, like, 3 or 4 times. But, like, why? Why are they opening and shutting? And no one's on the other side.
Exactly. Why an elevator doesn't do that, I guess, unless she kept pushing the open.
That's true. She also did, like, put it through the ringer.
Lots of buttons. The first moment that she walks in, I'm just looking again. So she comes in, she pretty immediately is acting strange. Mm-hmm. Like the way that she immediately like swoops down to press all the buttons.
If you do watch through the end, the door opens and shuts, I think, 3 times between time 2:17 and 4 minutes. And it's not like immediately... like open, shut, open, shut, open, right. Shut, shuts, 10 seconds go by, and then it opens, 10 seconds it's open. Something's clearly either malfunctioning with the elevator or something's up.
Yeah.
I guess if it was closing, like she could have pushed the call button outside to have it open again.
I guess.
But why?
I think we could probably go down a very...
Yeah,
I know. Sorry. Yeah. Okay.
So I remember watching that video like repeatedly when it was first released, and I didn't like the way it made me feel, but I couldn't stop. And for our listeners who haven't seen just simply search a Lisa Lam video to watch. But for those listening and just too enthralled to click away, the video shows Elisa in one of the hotel elevators on January 31st. The video is grainy, but absolutely clear as to what she's doing, or at least showing the actions. As we kind of went over, she steps into the elevators and studies the buttons before crouching in the corner, then moves out of the elevator, peering her head out sideways towards the hotel hallways. And she looks nervous, like someone or something is after her or looking for her. She repeatedly looks out into the hallways and before she steps out of the elevator entirely and just starts, looks like with her hand movements, she's having a conversation with someone, but there is clearly no one there. And the final minute of the video before it just turns into the elevator doors opening and closing, Elise is just standing near the left side of the door, shaking and moving her hands in abnormal gestures. No one else was seen. 2 weeks after Elise's disappearance, guests at the hotel began complaining about the water, both a strange taste and water pressure. Santiago Lopez was tasked with checking the situation, taking the elevator to the 15th floor, then trekking up a set of stairs to the roof, where he then turned off the rooftop alarm, then climbed a ladder to reach the top of the 10-foot-tall water tank. Lopez immediately saw that the hatch was open. Looking inside, he was greeted with Elisa Lam's corpse face up in the water. The chief of the Los Angeles Fire Department says the tank had to be drained completely and then cut open from the side to remove her 5'4" body.
Jesus.
So what happened to Elisa during those days and nights at the Cecil? Who had she been with? What had she done with her time? Hotel staff all report seeing her alone at the hotel, and a bookshop worker, Katie Orphan, recalls Elisa visiting the store, purchasing books and music for her family back in Vancouver. Orphan told CBS LA, "It seems like she had plans to return home, plans to give things to her family members and reconnect with them." Lam's autopsy results only made the tableau even stranger. The toxicology report showed that Lam had been taking medication for her bipolar disorder, including an antidepressant. There were no indications of alcohol or any illegal substances in her system. There was also no indication of foul play, sexual assault, or suicide, although the coroner's office did conclude that they were unable to test Lam's blood because of the decomposition. The autopsy results stirred immediate interest, and many online sleuths came up with their own theories. Lam's sister confirmed 3 of the 4 medications she had been taking at the time, Wellbutrin, Lamotrigine, Quetiapine, and another one that she couldn't remember, were all in her system. A popular theory is that she'd been improperly taking or not taking her antipsychotic prescriptions. Others note that when antidepressants are used for bipolar disorder, they can result in manic behavior. So these hypotheses may not be far off. Amy Price, the Cecil's hotel manager, stated in court that Lam had originally booked in a hostel-style shared room with other guests, but Lam's roommates complained of odd behavior and Lam was forced to a private room. Still though, even if she had been experiencing mental health issues or just, you know, some behavioral issues, how did she end up dead in a water tank?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Lam's parents filed a wrongful death suit against the Cecil Hotel several months later, stating that the hotel had a duty to inspect and seek out hazards in the hotel that presented an unreasonable risk of danger to Lam and other hotel guests. The hotel fought back, arguing that it was unreasonable to think anyone would be able to get into the water tanks, which Santiago, the maintenance man on duty, confirmed in his statement. It had taken him a lot of physical effort to get up to the tank, and only employees were able to deactivate the alarm that would trigger on the rooftop. The alarm would have activated on the entire top 2 floors of the hotel and also at the front desk. Price, the hotel manager, also stated that there are only 4 ways to access the rooftop. 3 are via fire escapes on the sides of the building, and the 4th through the aforementioned locked rooftop door. Ultimately, it would have been very difficult for Lam to make it to the top of the water tank on her own or without being noticed, and the lawsuit was dismissed. So yeah. No matter what, it's going to be tough to get up there.
Mm-hmm.
One person, but especially 2 people, like say she was killed somewhere and then dragged up, like there's still a lot you have to get through. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even like, even if she was messed up on her meds or off her meds or whatever, that can explain the elevator video and mm-hmm. like how strange that is, but it does not explain what happened to her.
And it's really like, as far as I know, it's pretty difficult to drown yourself. Your body's doing everything it can to fight against that. That's why right. I'm pretty sure that's not like a very typical way of committing suicide, unless you're like mm-hmm. weighing yourself down in a lake or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Since opening in 1927, the Cecil Hotel has been host to 16 different non-natural deaths, along with unexplainable phenomena and events. Some were confirmed suicides, others questionable, and another involved a young mother giving birth in the room, only to immediately throw the infant out the window. Oh! The most famous ties to the hotel hearken to Elizabeth Short, aka the Black Dahlia, who had been seen drinking at the hotel bar days before her mutilated body was discovered. The Cecil also housed some of the nation's most notorious killers. Richard Ramirez, also known as the Night Stalker, lived in the hotel during his killing spree in 1985. It is said that Ramirez would dump his blood-soaked clothes outside the hotel and enter the hotel half-naked. But with the alleys and even hallways routinely found with dead bodies of junkies, no one batted an eye, used to the hotel's known disarray. 6 years later, the Austrian serial killer, Jack Unterweger, aka the Vienna Strangler, moved into the hotel. Even American Horror Story's Ryan Murphy told reporters that the show's hotel season was inspired by, quote, a surveillance video that went around 2 years ago that showed a girl getting into an elevator in a hotel that was said to be haunted. There are stories of cold spots and shadowy figures, and a news story went around a couple years ago of a ghost photograph, which showed a shadowy figure outside a window at the hotel looking like it was going to jump. There are accounts of people saying that they've seen women who look like the Black Dahlia, and like they're being watched in the hotel. And even if none of this is true, it's still just a creepy place due to the fact that the serial killers had stayed there. Like you were saying, Margaret, how things stick to the walls or those experiences stay yeah. around. That's a lot of death, a lot of
death. Yeah, you can't have that much like evil and it not be there.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, stay there.
Ugh. Is Ramirez the one who like the citizens arrested him? Do you know what I mean? Is that yeah, the one? Yeah. Oh my gosh. So this he was so evil, and the story, I don't know, I think we talked about this, Anna, the story of when he was caught. People recognized him. He was outside of what is like a convenience store or something, right? Mm-hmm. And they all started like, hey, it's you. And they all kind of like surrounded him or whatever, right? And the cops came to get him and he vomited like projectile, exorcist style, everywhere.
Oh, what?
No, what? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they said it was like unhuman how he, I have like a full blown clinical phobia of throw up, so it's hard for me to talk about it, but I'm getting better.
Same.
You too. Oh man, I've thrown up so many times. Have you ever projectile vomited?
No.
I can count on my fingers how many times I've thrown up.
Oh god.
Me too, Brooke.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, I avoid it at all costs. I'll be sick for 3 days and just keep it down.
No, I'm like, get out of me, Satan. I remember the first time that I, like the first and only time I've really projectile vomited, and it was New Year's Day after a big night out. I was moving apartments, and so I was like chugging a ton of water, or it was like Gatorade or the equivalent of. And the thing with me, if I'm throwing up, it's just not going to stop. No matter, I can drink a ton of water, I can have soup. It's usually about 1 o'clock in the afternoon when it stops the next day. And then it's just fine. But I had chugged a ton of Gatorade, you know, white cherry. And I was like, oh no, it's coming. The movers, like the moving tuk-tuk, this was in Cambodia, had just like pulled up. I like ran to the bathroom. I only made it through the door and I was able to projectile vomit it all into the toilet, but from the door. And I was so impressed with my
Kobe.
That's how it felt. Nothing but the net.
How does that even happen?
It was fantastic.
That is incredible. It must have been like
so powerful.
It was.
And you are an expert puker. Like that is amazing. Wow. I bet nobody in the world has ever been able to projectile vomit on target like that.
It was a blessed moment, to say the least.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Good for gosh. You. Anyway. Yeah, sorry. Back to the hotel.
Here is the hotel. That is crazy, though. Usually, I mean, from what I know, projectile vomiting like that and anything but cherry Gatorade, it would be really tough just out of nowhere to make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuck with me.
Well, it's going to stick with me. I say that, but apparently you've told me that before. I'm like, what?
Actually, no, you know what? I might have sent you the article. I think I could have just texted you the article because we had been watching American Horror Story. Yeah.
Yeah.
I never finished it.
Oh yeah. Fun. 1984.
Yeah. Good. It was good.
It's actually really funny. Let's talk theories. I want to hear your thoughts because I've got something else to tell you. Just another theory. It's not like a case breaker, but I'm curious and I want to hear everything that's going through your mind.
I don't even know where to start. I mean, I hate this case, but also love it because it's so damn fascinating and horrifying. And I don't know. It's just one of the more unsettling because there's so many different aspects to it. It's not even just like, well, there was a girl found in a water tank and it doesn't make sense how she got there. It's like, there's all of this before. And then that video of her and actually like seeing her and like seeing that she was going through something, it just makes it awful, like as bad as it can be. But with that said, I've thought about it quite a bit. But I don't know. What are your theories? What do you think happened to her?
I'm at like such a loss here because it'd be one thing if she had jumped. If her death had been any other way, I would chalk it up to, you know what? It was really tough. Time for someone who is struggling with her mental illness, because you can pretty much, you can tie everything abnormal back to that. But her death is just like I was saying, how do you, one, kill yourself that way? It'd be really tough unless she had like, again, taken a bunch of drugs and then like completely passed out in the water tank and then drowned. Or had weighted herself down, but that wasn't the case as shown in the autopsy. And how did she get up there?
Exactly. Because even if somebody killed her and tried to take her up there, what are they going to carry her up the fire escape without being seen? So I assume that they questioned thoroughly all of the hotel employees. So, you know, there would be at least some little clue somewhere that, you know, maybe someone took her up there and deactivated the alarm, but wouldn't they also know that? And then if they had to cut the water tank open, how easy was it for her to get in there in the first place? If they had to cut it open to get her out.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm sort of at a loss for theories too, except that someone else knows something, like someone else helped her get up there and without drugs in her system, and there was no autopsy signs that she was hurt or strangled, or unless being in water for that long.
But yeah, she's been in there for 2 weeks.
Yeah, you may not know if she was strangled or something.
Right.
When you're strangled, though, like you would be able to, there's a lot of bruising and trauma to that area. Like, yeah. I think they'd be able to see.
What if it was like asphyxiation in some other way? What if she was like smothered?
Yeah. Is there a way like, to tell?
I don't know. I feel like any signs that they would have, she was probably decomposing.
Yeah.
That wouldn't. Because my only thought is that she was brought up there by an employee or someone that had access to the roof and was killed there.
Yeah.
I don't see how else it could happen. But then there's still the question of like, well, how did they put her inside? How did they like, how did no one see anything?
I also think, you know, with the alarm system, they would be able to track when, and this is also just assuming that really good police and detective work, or not even really good, just thorough detective work was done, and that they would check the records of when the alarm was last accessed or whatnot, because that's fairly easy to know. And I feel like they would have followed any leads, like if they had seen any triggering or deactivation of the alarms within that time period, they would look into it. Right?
Mm-hmm. And you would hope, yeah.
But that may be asking too much.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure they have, I mean, sadly, I'm sure they have a lot of work down there at the Los Angeles Police Department. Doesn't mean that they didn't give her her just, but, you know, also we don't have the answers, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And there's like there's a whole paranormal arc to it, as like, was she possessed?
Mm-hmm.
You hear of stories of possession where people have abnormal strength or abilities. Maybe she scaled the whole building and plopped herself in there.
Oh my gosh, that image.
Who knows?
Ugh.
I'm going to throw out one last theory that's such a weird coincidence, and it is just bonkers and just ridiculous, but it's so strange. So I have to go into this. During the exact same time Lamb was staying at the Cecil, there was a tuberculosis test being used in the area called enzyme-linked immunosorbent assay, or Lamb ELISA. The actual test was LAM-ELISA.
Okay. What?
Okay, what? So what? Like, what are you saying?
Isoniazid is the most commonly used antibiotic for TB patients, and its side effects can include confusion or strange behavior, like what she was presenting in the elevator. But Lamb's toxicology screening, again, didn't show anything out of ordinary in her system, but many conspiracy theories think that the drug test results were forged and that her autopsy results were altered in some way because there were such delays in the report's release, which I didn't actually know. There are also those who think ELISA Lamb never existed, and this case was fabricated to distract from an intentional government-sponsored TB outbreak and testing. So this would ensure anyone who tries to research the test, Lamb ELISA, would only find information about ELISA Lamb and her death at the Cecil. In the following days after her body was discovered, a number of newspapers, including the Times and, you know, proper newspapers, reported an outbreak of a resistant strain of tuberculosis among the homeless in downtown LA. And the CDC had been approached to help keep the sudden outbreak under control. The Lamb ELISA, I mean, everything else is just...
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's really so weird.
I don't know. I just don't even fully get, like, why... I mean, I guess the cover-up story, but...
Honestly, government testing and doing it on, like... homeless people and less than desirable. And if that outbreak happened, then yeah, you would want to be able to cover that up with a different story. I don't know. It's a wild stretch. I get it. But it is also an insane coincidence.
Yeah.
That's nuts. I had never heard that. Wow.
I remember hearing about that. I was living in LA during that TB outbreak thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember hearing something about TB going around. I wasn't on the news or anything, though. That is so crazy.
That's so wild.
Yeah, TB. TBD. So yeah, I don't know. Like, it could be a million things. Government cover-up, paranormal dealings from pain spirits, or simply just like a very sad fluke of a story. I have no answers. I don't even have an inkling of what I'm leaning towards. I love the idea of it having paranormal leanings, but I still don't even know what that would look like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish we could hear more from the people who like complained about her behavior, because it would seem like it would need to be pretty weird behavior in order for, because we are talking about, first of all, downtown LA. Okay.
In a hostel.
So you expect
weird things.
You expect to have weird ass roommates in a hotel, or I mean in a hostel situation. Or
a hostel situation.
But like also downtown LA, like that's where I saw the weirdest stuff I've ever seen in my life. You know, like people pooping right on the sidewalk and stuff. You know, it's just got, there's like, I mean, talk about weird behavior. Downtown LA's got it. So like, if you're down there and someone's being weird, it's like, yeah, that's where I am. And so I would think she would have to be acting super weird for people to be like, whoa, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I would like to know what she was actually doing.
But it doesn't sound like we got those accounts. We just got the person at the hotel who had the people tell her she was being weird. And
yeah, I didn't see anything, but that would be a really interesting insight. And I would love to also see other, I mean, I don't know if they had other cameras. I assume they would, but this hotel also sounds super shitty. So yeah. But like just to see her comings and goings, was she fairly normal otherwise? Because like hotel staff say they saw her and she was alone, and apparently like nothing too jarring to point out. Big old question mark.
Yeah. I like the theory that she never existed.
That would be nice.
Nobody knows anything. Nobody knows a single thing.
Mm-mm. And there are like still to this day like tons of Reddit threads, and people are still very active when it comes to trying to figure out what happened.
Right. Yeah.
It's one of those situations where it just does not make any sense.
Yeah. None. Did they talk about how hard it would be to get in the tank if, or no, huh?
No, I think it would be fairly, I mean, it seems like it'd be fairly simple to get into the tank. Because it's like, she wasn't big, but to get her out without, I think
sure,
that was probably
without,
the...
Yeah, I see what you mean. They had to cut it open because they wanted to gingerly remove her.
Yeah.
I just realized that I looked it up on the map. I worked around the corner from there when this happened.
Really? So,
yeah. Ooh. Yeah, that was right when I worked downtown LA and like, ugh.
So you're familiar with the Cecil Hotel then?
Yeah, when I saw the picture, I remembered seeing the sign or whatever, but I didn't pay much attention to it at the time.
Why would you?
Yeah, I went in to work and then I went out. I mean, downtown LA is not like a fun place.
Doesn't sound like it.
There's a really cool rooftop bar there, though. We should go sometime.
Well, another week of weird, to say the least. This one has us all stumped, and it seems has a lot of people stumped. It really is one of those stories that sticks with you. But we would love to know what you think happened and what you believe. So tell us. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Something Weird Podcast. Whether you have stories of hopefully not dead people in your water tanks and hotels, more along the lines of just creepy hotel stories, we would love to hear.
And if you enjoyed any bit or all of the podcast, let us know with a nice 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Makes a difference, makes us feel nice, and we can keep on getting the truth out there. So with that, Margaret, thank you so much. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
Loved having you on, obviously. Thanks for sharing your tale and getting us talking about spooky hotels.
Yeah.
All the creepiness out there waiting for us as we travel again, maybe one day. But really, thank you. It was great having you on here and chatting with you.
Yeah, thank you. I really do love your podcast. I think you guys are so awesome and lovely, and I am honored to be a part of it, for real.
Well, thanks. All right. Well, until next time.
Stay weirdy.